we're getting better with AI being able to recognize if people are happy, sad with their experience. And when you're able to marry that with a CSAT and make sure there's alignment between the two, I think we're going to get a much better picture of how an individual person feels about their experience, and then being able to track that satisfaction over a longer period of time.
Hey folks, Damien here, and welcome to another episode of the Deep Learning with Poly AI podcast. I'm joined by a brand new guest today, the mythical entity that is Stephen Fine. He is a master of all things business value and analysis therein. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Damien. Really appreciate it. And happy to finally be here.
Yeah, seriously. I know you were waiting a long time. We got all of your letters. So thank you for sending those, requesting to be on the show. Very important. But no, in all seriousness, really glad to have you on. You are the eyes and ears of our client base with regards to driving value from having this really awesome thing that we've been putting together over the past bunch of years. And so I thought, what better topic to discuss with you than taking a look at how contact centers historically measured success, why it was so dry and stale and boring, and with the advent of technologies like conversational AI and automation efforts being powered by those technologies, where you see the future of measuring success. So again, thanks for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Poly.
I'm a senior business value analyst. So essentially what that title means is I work with clients pre-sales and post-sales. Pre-sales, we help with building business cases and making sure we're able to actually quantify the impact that we're likely to have with our clients. And then working post-sales on actually making sure that we bring that value to life and we're tracking our performance over time. Because fundamentally, our goal here is to drive business value, and I want to make sure we can measure that.
It would be pretty terrible if our goal wasn't to drive business value. I'm not sure how long we'd be in the business, but no, that's excellent. Obviously, there's a lot of like low-hanging fruit when it comes to how you can measure success through automation. It's a popular concept that goes back to the dawn of technology, right? How do we do things better, faster, cheaper? So why don't we talk a little bit about historical state and those legacy KPIs that existed within the contact center? If you're running a contact center and you're being tasked to be better, what are you measuring for? Let's just say in like legacy contact center environments.
Yes. So I think if we look at the past of contact centers, it's really focused around like operational efficiency metrics. So I'm going to throw, it's probably the industry with the most little acronyms because everyone loves an acronym. It's really focused around your average handle time. So your age, yeah, how quickly can you get people off the phone to be as efficient as possible? How long are they waiting in queues? First contact resolution. A lot of the stuff like first contact resolution is great, but a lot of the stuff is always really focused around that like operational efficiency. How can I have like as little work and as little time with customers as possible? And I think what we've seen as we've moved away from seeing just the contact center as a cost center is we're starting to realize that the time you spend with your customers and be that on the phone channel, which is a key kind of part of the customer journey, is right. You want to make that time that you spend with them not just as quick as possible, but you want to make it as meaningful as possible. All right. So. Mm-hmm. Like first contact resolution does really talk to that. And I think it's critical that we don't lose that metric, but average handle time, the goal is not always to drive down average handle time. And I think like when you misalign metrics and we're basically trying to get people off the phone as quickly as possible is which an agent's being judged on that is they drop calls quicker. They don't always get to the answer as quick as possible and they pop it off to the next person because then they're incentivized to get people off the phone. I think that's a misalignment of incentives from like just being a cost center, which is operational efficiency. As we start moving to, this is a revenue and experience center. We want to make sure our customers have the best experience. And that doesn't always mean the shortest time.
Right. And it's this double-edged sword too, because the fact that there's no like silver bullet metric that all contact centers across industries are going for. Well, one of the common criticisms, so you have a contact center, you're getting stretched for resources. The call times are really long. people are waiting on hold for a very long time. Your call abandonment rate is really high. So you look into the potential of, okay, let's look at outsourcing some functionality. When you go to an outsourcer, their concern is meeting some SLAs, which are basically tied to that call handling rate and the average handling time, right? They're not going to give a great experience if they know that the clock is on as soon as they handle the call, because you basically outsource for possibly cost containment savings and again, expanding some resources. They're concerned about hitting their SLAs, which doesn't take the customer into consideration and maybe an off-brand experience. So there's this constant muddling of what's the most important. It seems like it's a nightmare to prioritize how you even define success from a quantitative standpoint.
Yeah, getting me started on outsourcing is a whole nother discussion. Yeah, it's a whole nother discussion, because I know we've seen a ton of clients, they go down that path and it's not always all that it was promised, because the quality, you do it for a cost efficiency, but then they spend twice the time on the phone because they're not trained up and they keep attriting. So different kind of story around that. And I think one of the challenges, and I don't think anyone's solved this challenge, is trying to balance the efficiency metrics and the performance metrics from a first contact resolution and CSAT NPS perspective. Trying to balance those two kind of sides of the scale, because you can't ignore the efficiency. Like, efficiency matters, but you can't ignore customer experience, right? So you to really get it's trying to get a more holistic view of all of these metrics, because each of them, as you push one up, there's probably a negative effect on something else. If you're just trying to get people off the phone as quickly as possible, it drives down your first contact resolution. If you're just shooting for first contact resolution, like, you're doing everything to make sure your agents stay, and they will stay on the phone to make sure it's resolved. So that drives up you'll drive up your CSAT, but then your agents are on the phone for ages and you're not staffed for that. It's really a really hard balance of trying to marry the customer experience and the efficiency.
Yeah, the better, faster, cheaper pick two. Right. But the other interesting thing is that if the concept were that first call resolution, if that were really like a guiding force for a lot of contact centers out there, then they would have the senior most experienced agents handling the calls on the front end. But it doesn't work that way. And it's largely due to bandwidth issues. Right. So you have someone who's a more junior agent, sort of that tier one frontline, because they're there to, depending on the function of the context, let's just say it's customer support. Right. They're there to answer those frequently answered ask questions. They're there to maybe do some real quick updates, something that could probably be found on a website. Call resolution can be high, but if they get an actual pressing issue that requires escalation, then it's got to go to a few other individuals. If that first call resolution were so prominent, you would think you would have more senior people answering the phone every time it rings.
Yeah. The dream is, and I think that this is truthfully where contact centers will go in the future, is the dream is to have really specialized agents answering the kind of hardest questions, and that can deal with a general group of complex stuff. And all the baseline stuff is dealt with, frankly, with automation. And I think as we're definitely not there yet. But I think as we go into the future and we see the progress with what we're seeing around generative and knowledge bases, what we will see is that, like, baseline 40-50% of work is a lot of it quite repetitive, right, not overly complex work. That's going to be completely automated away. We're seeing in some of our clients where you hit those, and I'm just thinking like retail, where you're taking away 40% of calls. And that's just because those are the simple calls. Those were your tier one agents. But what you're frankly not going to get with automation is you're not going to get those calls that take 15 minutes automated away.
Right.
The ones that, like, really take human empathy and a lot of multitasking across different people and getting approvals from different places. And what we're going to take away the first bit, but that complexity, we're going to have higher skilled agents that are going to get paid more. They're going to get paid because it's going to become a career that, like, people want to stay in, because there's actually, it can become quite meaningful, like helping customers at a high level solve reasonably complex problems. And I think that when that shift happens and we're seeing it happen, I think it's going to be amazing for contact centers as a whole.
Does that also neutralize even the concept of measuring for first call resolution? Will it be expected almost with this new organization structure, knowing that 50% of those calls are mundane and are going to be handled appropriately through automation? The others are going to senior agents who are able to have that knowledge set and have the skills to be able to handle almost any other call that an automated agent couldn't handle. Does that mean that ultimately it's like uptime for cloud-based services, right? It's count the nines. You're just going to say every call should be handled on the first contact?
I think it's everyone's dream that the first call gets handled on first contact. And I think like this actually goes back to measurements, to measuring the performance of voice assistants or bots. Like they, and this is where I believe it's going to go, is it's really important that companies are measuring the first call resolution within a bot. And that a lot of the time, what we've seen in clients that we've gone into, and when they've had, call it these old touch tone IVRs, they get super excited about telling us that their containment rates are incredible. They're sitting at 50%. And when we dive in and actually listen to those calls, it's containment, but it's not resolution, right?
Let's go into it. So containment, how do you define containment?
So I think it's a really interesting one because the industry, it would be lovely if we had one way that everyone defines it. But right. The truth is that everyone picks their own little way of defining it. I'll probably the way that I see it. I see multiple kind of levels of it that you should work through. Like you do have this level of, call it raw containment, right? This level of containment where it's just, here's the number of calls that come in and this is the number of calls that don't get through to an agent, right? That's your kind of raw containment. Then you have your level two, which is all of assisted containment, where it's a voice assistant or chatbots, whatever the channel you're on for this is, it actually answers some questions. And at the end of that, the human drops off, right? So reasonable assumption that they've got what they want it answered, right? So now that's level two. Level three then goes, okay, well, now we assume that we've answered their question. And so we've done something. And now how many of them don't call back within a certain time frame? And the reason that I think it's really important to consider that is if people are just instantly calling back, like fundamentally, you have likely not resolved their query and they're right. Just calling back again. And I think that's the proxy that often we try to use to measure resolution, because it's very hard to just measure it on a mass scale with the millions of calls that we get in. We use that as a proxy to measure kind of resolution.
So tearing up, containment, we got your call, we answered it. Handled, we did a good job on getting those answers, but you called back. Resolved, we answered your questions, you don't need to call back. And that's the gold standard.
100%. I think I always say the best customer experience on a call is one where they don't come in, where they don't actually call.
The best customer experience is when you leave us alone. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's like it brings it back to like broadly a contact center problem is most of the time when people are calling into a contact center, it's because something's broken down. There's been some sort of break in the chain. Otherwise, they don't call, right?
Right.
Unless they need to get something that they just don't know. Most of the time, there's the problem that they want to have dealt with.
Yeah. And the emotionality going into it could range, right? It could be, okay, where's my package? I need to call and check my package. I don't have the tracking number, so I need to call in. It takes a little while, but you tell me the answer. Okay, great. I'm not calling in furious because I bought some sort of stroller for my infant and the wheels flew off and I'm furious and I need to understand why this is the case. And if there's a recall and my child is in jeopardy, then that's a much more severe call. But to your point, like you're not usually calling in just to say, hey, love your product, love your service. If you want to tell somebody. And so tapping into the emotionality of the moment does skew for that. Is that historically why maybe when it comes to having to have that trade-off that you were talking about earlier about efficiency and like the experience, why historically experience was secondary, but consumers, it seems, especially the end user, they're getting to be a little more shrewd and loyalty isn't what it once was. So I think Gartner has a statistic that 62% of people will abandon a brand if they have one bad experience with that brand. And that bad experience, to your point, could be when they're calling in because they have an issue with something. So are we seeing this sort of surge in the importance of CSAT or customer satisfaction for you non in the knows?
Another acronym. Yeah, I think this has been like a wave that's been coming for ages. I think the importance of CSAT is not going anywhere. I think there's debates on whether it is the perfect measure for kind of customer satisfaction. It's like one of those things that you want to marry with a couple other things. And I think this is actually you spoke about emotion in that. And I think what that leads me to think and talk about is really like when you're able to, and this is where we're going, is when you're able to marry that kind of static CSAT of, are you happy with the experience that you went through today on a scale of 1 to 5? Right? When you're able to marry that with sentiment analysis, I think that's when you start being able to get a more accurate picture of actually how that person felt during that. And what we're seeing around sentiment analysis and being able to understand tone, it's definitely not perfect yet, but we're getting better with AI being able to recognize if people are happy, sad with their experience. And when you're able to marry that with a CSAT and make sure there's alignment between the two, I think we're going to get a much better picture of how an individual person feels about their experience. And then being able to track that satisfaction over a longer period of time through like customer relationship management platforms and CPDs, so like data platforms. I think when we're able to start really capturing that CSAT and sentiment for that person over time, we'll have a much better picture of actually how people feel in the contact center. It's a little bit of a rant that I've gone up and totally missed you.
No, but
not answered your question at all.
You did. And I think you bring up a really interesting point about marrying sentiment analysis to CSAT fidelity, right? Because if I'm on the phone and I'm like, if it's a transcription-based model that's taking a look at sentiment based on the words that I use, and I was like, oh man, that was totally badass. It's like both of those words, it may strike as a negative sentiment. It may set off some red flags, but really I was positive. And I think with the advancements of natural language understanding and language models that are being more savvy in artificial intelligence applications, like you're able to surmise not only the intent of the call, but the actual true sentiment of the caller. Because there's nothing worse than someone who had maybe a neutral to positive experience that gets false flagged as negative. And so having those sort of mutual validation points, I think, is going to be essential in the future.
It's so funny. We were talking about this the other day with a company in the mobility space. And one of the things that I'm based out of London, and one of the things that sentiments and analysis really struggles with is British sarcasm. Like when they end an unhappy call and you ask, so how was your experience? And then they go, yeah, that was just great.
It was not in vain. Morgan Freeman comes up in background. It was not in fact great.
No, exactly. And I think one of the things that we're definitely focused on and just a lot of plug is really around and moving it away from just like humans and moving it to the bot world. One of the things that has always been missed in the bot world is really talking about engagements. All the talk is around containments, right, and efficiency. One of the things that we don't talk about enough is engagement, right? So how are people actually engaging with the voice assistants? Because really what that means is they're building trust and they're having a decent experience, right? They're likely to get what they want done. And that's driven by engagement.
When you say engagement, are you talking about essentially would one sign of engagement be they're using more words as opposed to that typical, I don't trust you bot, so I'm going to give everything in one word responses and think that I'm going down a decision tree based on your limited capabilities, right? Like billing, representative or whatever. That's a telltale sign of a lack of trust. Whereas people who actually have like realistic dialogue with chatbots or with virtual assistants or virtual agents, that's an indicator of trust, that they think that this automation we'll be able to assist them?
Yes, yeah, so 100%. And I think it starts at the top when the call first comes in. So your first proxy for engagement will be where after the bot speaks, how many words is the person speaking, right? That's your first kind of term of engagement. Then there's this critical point where the customer speaks. After they speak, now it's an opportunity where the voice assistant actually needs to prove that it's able to do its job, right? So you've got that first bit of engagement. Now it's about building trust. And so now they've got to answer. The voice assistant needs to answer with the right information to prove that it's able to do this job that the customer came in to get done. And then when they bot answers correctly, that's your first link of trust built. But now you're on the trust path. You've got more engagement. And then what you really want is, can you have a multi-turn conversation, right? Where there's a to and fro, making sure that they get through to that resolution point and that number of turns, another measure of engagement. And then one that now, I believe is there.
When you say number of turns, that's jargon for a back and forth between the caller and the automated assistant, right?
Exactly. Just like when you think about when you have a conversation with an agent, is you don't, the customer doesn't just speak and then the agent says one thing and then the conversation's done. Usually there's a multiple back and forth between the agents and customer. And that's what you want to try replicate when correct in the world of voice assistant. And then the one thing I wanted to add is the one thing that I always love, and I think it's basically a measure of did the person get what they want done? When we have customers at the end of it say thank you, that's just like my absolute favorite moments. When they at the end of the conversation, they're like, oh, thank you so much. I'm like, oh, we know we've done our job.
It's 10 times better when they've acknowledged during the call that they know they're talking to a bot and they still say thank you. That is the icing on a pretty delicious cake. Speaking of customers and with your role, both pre and post sale, obviously establishing how they're going to find business value and then how they actually measure it. Have you heard any stories from the street or what you would consider to be pretty innovative approaches to measuring success coming from any customers? And let's not name them, but just like maybe a metric that historically hadn't been measured before. You seem to be touching on a few things, especially when it comes to sentiment and overall like trust markers. But are there any other signs of success that people or our customers are measuring for that you think is a true sign of the times?
So I think in this example, what I'd just like to do is separate like performance of bot and performance of contact center. The reason I say that is separate the bot's performance is fundamentally there to serve the whole contact center as a whole.
Right.
They're not isolated things to look at. You have to look at them together. So I think really where there's what we're seeing across a couple of our clients in the retail and FinServe industries specifically, marrying the conversation with the bot, the portion of the conversation with the voice assistant, and the portion of the conversation when it's transferred to an agent for, call it an escalation in this example, something that's not in scope for the voice assistant, or is just fundamentally not right, marrying those conversations together and looking at sentiments on the overall conversation and CSAT on the overall conversation, not just an isolated portion between the two. When you're able to get CSAT at the end of that conversation and marry that with the sentiments that we across the whole conversation, you get a pretty good indicator of whether there is a overall uplift in customer experience.
And it makes total sense too, because at the end of the day, an automated solution, a voice assistant, a chatbot is a tool. Right? It's a tool in the entire customer experience. And to separate it or to try and demarcate that as something other than a cohesive single stream of a customer experience is a little bit archaic. So that totally makes sense to me that it's looking at the entire experience, right? Because even though these voice assistants may sound really human-like, they're not. It's a system. It's a technology. It's a tool. And so it should be treated just like any other tool along that customer experience, that support call, and married in for one holistic approach. So what I'm hearing from you is that merging of these emotional aspects of satisfaction along with operational efficiencies, there's no separation now between man and machine. It's basically all one thing.
Yeah, I think we're definitely moving in that direction. It takes quite a lot of kind of customer education.
I bet.
But we're definitely moving in that direction where you're going to see contact centers treating their virtual assistants just like they look at their agents. And I think that's really where you'd like to get to. Obviously, a slight difference when the boss is answering a million calls compared to
thousand
that a human can answer. Makes things slightly different. But I think what you will see is you start looking at it as an integrated, one whole integrated system that they both need to be judged on together, right? Not as separate entities.
And the bot also will never eat the last bagel in the break room. So that's something you don't have to worry about as well. Stephen, I really appreciate your time. This to me is really fascinating because the concept of just measuring success, I love to see how that evolves along with the technology and the capabilities that we have within this particular space, but in general, what AI is bringing to like setting a new standard for measuring success. And it really is more customer centric, which I think is excellent down the road. Appreciate your time today. Hope to see your lovely face at another episode here really soon. And for those of you who are faithful watchers and listeners, we will talk with you next week. Take care, everyone.